involved here. There's much more than salvation involved here. There is an occupation involved. You have just been taken out of the world's occupation and put into God's occupation. You've taken out of the world's family and you've been implanted. You've been grafted into God's family for a purpose. You know, I was born and raised on a farm. And there was never one thought in my mind that I wasn't born to work on that farm. It was never presented to me any other way. You go back a few generations and farmers raised their help. And the help, the children knew that that's what they were there for. They didn't go get a college education and then come back to work. They started the minute they were born, basically, to go to work. And they were taught from then on, this is your work. The minute you were born again, you were born into an occupation.
Yes, that's right.
Our job is to seek that occupation.
Good.
Not to seek floating around in a cloud, not ever doing anything, expect blessings dumped on us. Even though sometimes that happens. But we were called for a purpose. To know His purpose, we must be in His will. I mean, in His presence. To know His purpose and His will, we must be in His presence. You go into the boss's office, boldly, the Bible says, and you ask. Now, most people say, can you fill my pocketbook? But what we're supposed to do is go into His presence and say, what do you want me to do? And then He pays well, I promise you. He pays well. Don't worry about that end of it. All through your handbook, your employer's handbook, it tells you that you'll be paid well. And the retirement is good. It says that. What are you worried about? Quit worrying about that. Ask the boss what to do. So that you can please Him and might get a promotion out of it, glory to glory. That's a lot of scripture real fast, wasn't it? I want you to I want to show you an example. If you'll turn to the book of Luke. I want to tell you that I was born and raised a businessman. And I'm going to tell you, I used to think that was bad because that wasn't spiritual. And then all of a sudden, by the Spirit, God revealed to me that He's the CEO of the major corporation, the only corporation in the world, and that He runs a good business, a tight ship. And His goal is profit. And He knows this. More than most employers, He knows this. To get good help, you got to pay well. He knows that. Please, I'm not trying to bring God down. I'm trying to get something we can understand. He knows to get good help, you got to pay well. I've known employees that ask a guy to go out and do 14 hours worth of work a day and pay him nothing. And, of course, they don't stay long, right? Why? Working conditions are intolerable. It's a shame to the family. It's a disgrace. And it's not going to be tolerated. Now, here's the thing. Our employee's handbook, the one you're holding right there, it's called the Bible, promises that we don't have to worry about that. Does it say all your needs will be met?
Yes.
Okay. Then we don't worry about that anymore. Let's get out of the world's way of doing things and get into God's way.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2. You all know this story, but we're going to read it again. Luke chapter 2, verse 39 through 51. The reason I don't hesitate in reading Scripture, I know that if you would listen to me read Scripture, you'd be blessed. If I never made a point out of this, if you just listen to me read the Bible, the Word of God is going to create a seed in you that will bring forth a harvest. So I'm not going to hesitate. Let's read. Luke 2, 39, or 40, sorry, 40. And the child grew, this is about Jesus, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let me read it backwards. Because God was upon him, he was filled with wisdom. Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. They spent an entire day looking for him. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. 12-year-old boy sitting there, listening and asking questions. They didn't say he was up on a table preaching. He was listening and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was asking the questions. I'm going to tell you something. I can teach you something a lot quicker asking you a question than preaching to you. I promise you, one-on-one, we get it down that way. We get it going. I was in Renee's beauty salon the other day, and a lady was in there, and Renee was going on, and that lady floored her with one question. She had to just stop and pause and laugh for a while because she got caught with one question. In a conversation, please, if you're going to be a wise minister, you don't preach. In a conversation, if you're going to be a wise minister, you don't preach. You listen and you ask questions and they get the answers. That's the picture here. It's the way Jesus did it. You guys call yourself Christ-like, right? All right. You got the formula down there. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. When Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Get that? How many of you have prayed the same thing to God on the sly? Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Verse 49, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which was spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now listen to me. Why did Jesus stay there? Why didn't he go with the parents? Number two, why did the parents leave and not stay there? What's the answer to the first one? Why did Jesus stay there? All of it, yes. Now I'm going to put it in one statement. Because that's where God was. That's where his presence was. And Jesus was wise enough not to leave his presence. Why weren't the parents there? Because that was not their focal point, was it? Their focal point was to get back home to the chickens. Man, I got cows and sheep that got to be fed. Don't you know I got to get back? Partying's over. The calendar dates for this feast are over. We're into the law. It's over. It says we got to go home because I got responsibilities. I got to go home. The law said that Jesus had to respect his parents and had to be with him. He had to be with them or he dishonored, disrespected, disobeyed the parents. Why was Jesus there? Jesus was there because that's where his father was. He said, I'm about my father's business. Parents, can I tell you something? How would you take that? How would you take it? That's why it said that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Let's ponder a couple of things. Number one, Jesus said, you're not my parents, the Father is. You understand that? He told them, I'm not obeying you, I'm obeying God. Now listen, if any kiddos are listening to me, don't you try that unless you know God real well. Because you're going to need his protection if you're out of line. You should need his protection if you're out of line. Mary and Joseph knew that this was a miraculous kiddo. Mary and Joseph knew that this child was filled with the Holy Spirit before he ever hit the ground running. Mary and Joseph knew by the way God acted that he worshipped the Father all the time. This was not the first incident of obedience. So they didn't come down on him like a ton of lead. Let me tell you what happened. They pondered these things in their heart. The very act of disobedience to the parent of Jesus Christ taught Mary and Joseph a lesson about the presence of God. You hear me? He stayed there because that's where the presence of God was. And the last sentence in this says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men because of why? You see that last sentence, every one of us want that. But we don't want to stay sometimes. Hey, he's 12 years old. His friends and his kinfolks were going down the trail. They were going on a trip. They were going on a little vacation, even though it was back to home. That would have been the most fun thing to do. Believe me. 12-year-old kid would rather go out and play than listen to a bunch of theologians that don't know their head from a hole in the ground. And that's what he was dealing with. He didn't stay there because that's where the party was. He didn't stay there because that's where the cake was. He stayed there because that's where God was. This is where we have to be. This is what we have to desire. I told you that prayer. God hears everything. I just want to be where you are. We've got to get it down. I hunger and thirst for you, Lord. Not Mary and Joseph missed it. Now listen. There's nothing much closer proximity than a family. It's hard to get much closer than a family. But the presence of God was there, and Mary and Joseph didn't know it. So if you think the presence of God is something that's easy recognized, it is if you're used to being there. It isn't if you're used to worrying about the things of this world all the time. Mary and Joseph, the parents, the one that had been Christians for 56 years, or whatever figure you got in your mind. You've heard it before. Jesus was around 12 years, and he knew more about the presence of God than his parents. Wish my dad was here. I could hear that. I don't know how many times he said, well, I've been around. Well, who cares? We need to never use that on anybody. Never manipulate by saying, I've been a Christian for blankety blank years. Because it don't mean squat. We'll bring 12-year-old Jesus into the picture and set us all straight. Amen? By the way, Jesus himself said the things that I did, you can do also even more. So this is not an impossible place to be. We need to understand this story. We need to live with this goal in mind. That I don't care where anybody else is going. Friends, family, church, I don't care where. I'm going to be in the presence of God. I want to be where he is because that's where the power is. And that's where the will is. And that's where the knowledge is. And that's where the understanding and discernment is. And that's where the healing is. Why doesn't everybody get healed? Because not everybody's seeking for the presence of God. Let me tell you the picture here. Somebody said, wagons, ho, and they took off. It doesn't even say who said that. Tradition, if nothing else. Tradition said it's time to go, so we go. Now, how many times, I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have you taken off somewhere and asked for the presence of God to follow you or to catch up with you? That's the way most of our prayers are. God, I'm out here doing this. Don't you know where I'm at? Get on over here and give me your presence. I hate to be so simple with you, but that's the gospel. It's simple. It's not complicated. Mary and Joseph took off, expecting God to go with them. Jesus wanted God with him, so he stayed there. God gave me a... Well, let me hit this one sentence again, this last verse. And Jesus increased... Well, for the children that are listening, let me read the last two. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus, the 12-year-old, was subject to the parents that had just proven they probably weren't the best parents. But that's not the qualification, is it? He was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I got a couple of visions while I was thinking about this. One of them is that, and I started to do this, and I thought it was going to take too much time. But if I were up here, and I had dollar bills and miracles hanging out in my pockets, and I had building plans and maps and directions and all of this hanging out right here, and I'm up here, man, and every time I pull my hand out of my pocket, $100 bill falls out, or some healing falls out, or a miracle falls out, and you guys are sitting back there. What good does that do you? If I had all the plans of the universe right here and I had them laid out, What good does it do you unless you get up here where I'm at? Can I tell you something? God is the Father. He's the boss. He's the King. He's the Lord. Let's quit asking Him to follow us. You might as well call the president up and say, come on over and follow me for a while. You'll get just about the same response. No, God will be nicer. And he'll be more honest too, by the way. Because the president might just tell you, I'll be right there. Will you vote for me? Now look, I'm not trying to make this vast gap between God and us by calling him higher names than we're used to. That's not God's desire. God's desire is to draw us into his presence, into his throne. Boldly we come into his throne, right? His throne of grace. We just boldly walk in. Grace is what gives us the boldness to walk into his throne. But it doesn't say run away quick. The scripture's just talking about people that are out there and not in. Come into his throne. It doesn't tell you when to go. Get out of the tradition. Quit being the Mary and Joseph. Stay. Stay. God is the source of all.
Right.
Not notepads. Not how hard we can work. And not how much we can worry. He's already done all that needs to be. He just wants us to follow orders. Now I'm going to show you. Let me see if I can cut down just a little bit here. I'm going to show you, if you'll turn to the book of Mark. Because the next question I know is, how do I get in the presence of God? Why don't we not worry about how to get in his presence? No, let's stay there. Let's worry about how to get in his presence. Let's be concerned. Let's ask. Let's pray. Yeah, let's do whatever it takes to get there. I can read this fast. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Follow with me quickly, and I'll try not to make too many remarks. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, Jesus, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever he seizes him, this disease, this mute spirit, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. Sounds like the church. He answered him and said, we can put on a good show. Man, I tell you, you get the right preacher up here, and he'll have you all frothing at the mouth and dancing and shouting, and when you go home, you still may have the sickness you came in with. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then he brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed. You got that? And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. What is this? See, there are two spirits in this world. Remember, there's a spirit of God, and then there's that other one. And that other one, his whole job is to kill, steal, and destroy. You can't play with him. He'll burn you. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, I'm saying to you this morning, if you can believe what I'm telling you, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Immediately he cried out with tears. He was serious about this thing. Lord, I believe, and those places that I'm having a hard time believing, help my unbelief. Boy, isn't it cool that we can talk to God that way? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Remember when you pray, when you clean a house, lock the house. Otherwise, the dirty birds are going to come back in that made it dirty in the first place. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Now, for those of you that like instantaneous miracles, look at what this said. It happened again. Jesus himself said, come out of there. And this boy started going through the fit again. Jesus didn't lose his faith. Jesus knew he was in the presence of God. And where God is, they can't be this stuff, Stan. Then the Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Not only did he throw another fit, he died. Oh, Jesus, you did good this time. At least you got rid of the Spirit, you killed him. Where's your faith? Jesus' faith didn't waver. He knew he was in the presence of God. The others couldn't see it yet because they weren't there where Jesus was. Even though they were in the same place, they were not in the presence of God. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. But Stan, if you were in that situation, would you have the guts to reach down to a dead man and say, get up? Only if I believed he was healed. Only if I was in the presence of God and God told me that he'd back up anything that I did. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, listen, disciples. Are you all disciples of Christ? Listen. I know you've prayed and your prayers weren't answered. Listen. And when he came in his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Well, he mentioned earlier, oh, you have little faith, didn't he? That's number one, their faith was little. One place their faith was little was they wanted that demon to jump out instantly, not hurt anything, do exactly what their pre-programmed mind required. And if it didn't happen that way, they said, it didn't work. Your faith is not based on what you see. It's based on what you know. Bob, when you took me home last night, my faith wasn't established when I saw my wife there. I knew she'd be there. I knew she was there before I ever got there. How simple can it be? Some of us wake up in a new world about every 5 minutes. We want God to prove himself to us about every time we say something. And yet we're supposed to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Not in the hope of God. Or the if I see it, I believe it, God, the Missouri faith. Why couldn't we cast him out? So he just said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What is the purpose of prayer and fasting? Disciples, what is the purpose of prayer and fasting?
Be in the presence of God to forget about whatever else is going on.
Yeah, it's to kill your presence and open his up.
Yes.
Your presence is a bit too strong. You need to die. But you don't know how much I love to eat. Yeah, but God does. That's why he asked you to stop it. Well, you don't. But man, this prayer stuff. How long? I haven't got but just a few minutes every day loose. Yep. That's why it didn't work the last time you prayed. Prayer and fasting does exactly that. It brings you into the presence of God. It opens up what God sees and knows. I got this perfect formula for you. You guys like perfect formulas? This one cannot fail. I got one for you. You want every one of your prayers answered? Do you believe me? Then listen to me. Do you want every one of your prayers answered?
Yes.
Stan, listen to this. Then find out what God wants and pray that.
Yes.
Boy, that's complicated, isn't it? Yeah, but sometimes I don't know what God wants. I know that. Get where he's at. Listen to him. Did you know that the Bible promises that God will share those things with you? They're not secrets to his children. They're only secrets to the world. And here's one of the secrets that God reveals. When you begin to get in the presence of God and flow in the presence of God, the world's going to think you're a fool and you're going to know they are. That's scripture. Paul wrote that plain as day. I'm not good at quoting King James. God's power is for his kingdom and purpose. God created us in his likeness and image to do his will, to do his purposes, and to tend his garden. Come on, how about a little paradigm shift in our thinking? Most of us think that the reason we're born is to go to work for 30 years so that we can establish a retirement or a savings account that'll take us all that time. That's not the reason you were born. It was for his purpose. The Bible says to tend his garden, to beautify his garden also. I'm going to show you this one. I could bring this one easy. God showed me this last week. Now, this is what some of us call a power tool. Okay? Most Christians think they're this. They're a power tool. They're a tool full of power. But most Christians act like this. Why? Because they haven't figured out that they're a tool, all right. But they are not the power. They're not the power. Most of us will go down and buy something that has to be plugged in before we even establish a circuit. Look how easy this is. See how that works? That's how simple it is with God. You want the power? Get plugged in. I wish I could make that sound complicated. I guess I need to go to some more theological school before I can make it sound complicated. Maybe I can run in politics for the next 20 years so that I can say it where you thought I said something and I didn't say anything. We're not the power tool. We're the tool. Somebody can pull our trigger, we can pull our own trigger all day long. And that's why a lot of our stuff is not done. All of our prayers are not answered. Because we don't take time to do this. Isn't that cool? By the way, I don't have a whole set of these things, but I don't have a battery for every one of them. I have saws and drills and all kinds of stuff, but I don't have a battery for every one of them. But did you know this, that when I want that tool to operate, I just do this? Same source of power, just different operations. That doesn't mean this is bad. Man, this tool is valuable to me. Just because I lay it over here in the shelf and say, stay there for just a second, I've got to run over here and get something else accomplished, boom. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. In other words, the tingly feeling doesn't have to be there all the time. I have to know that I'm a tool of God. It's a very great thing. I was designed for a purpose. And He's going to use me whenever He wants to. All I got to do is stay plugged in. I don't mind taking the back seat for somebody else to do it. It's the same power source. All right. He gives power for His purposes, not ours.
Right.
It's the hardest thing to get down. It's a fine line to know the difference between my will and God's will, my purpose and God's purpose, my wants and His wants. We have to really be tuned in to God. And by the way, God's not a tyrant. Believe me, He'll slip in your wills pretty often. It's okay with Him. He doesn't mind that, as long as we're accomplishing His will. He's good at that, man. He'll let you get by with a lot of things that really weren't necessary if you'll just do His will and purpose. His power is for His purpose. When we are where He is, it gives us pleasure. Now listen, fine line again. Listen to me carefully. When we are where He is, we are full of joy, pleasure. Not because we got our way, but because He's getting His way, and it makes us happy. What we demand is for us to get our way, and we think that makes Him happy. We got something a little wrong there. My joy, my health, my prosperity, my power, my future, my security, my blessings, they do not come from doing all that I can do, being all that I can be. I get absolutely nothing by doing all I can do and being all I can be. These things from God, from the presence of God, come from doing all He wants me to do, from being in His presence. You got it? I want you to understand something. I got another vision a while back about this. There's this big spout. If you can't just go with the presence of God, then picture the spout. I'd like to have one of those big old spouts for the steam locomotives. You know, big old tank, you pull it down, the water just comes. That's the way you can picture this. It's a big old spout. But you have to put it up. There's a big power source, water source, provision source, blessing source. That's where God's at. How do I get there? I build this spout, and I stick it in Him. And it's called obedience. The spout's called obedience. I can literally build a conduit, if you like that word. That sounds a whole lot better. A conduit that gives me everything that deals with life, goodness, godliness, by obedience. I literally hand-built it. Every time God wants me, did the last part of that verse say that he grew in stature and wisdom and favor of men right after he obeyed God by staying there? That's what it said, right? You want that thing? You want to grow in honor and stature, wisdom, knowledge, and in health? You want to grow in that? You've got to stay where he's at. That's all it takes. Learn obedience. And all of a sudden that conduit, instead of that little old 10-amp conduit, we go to a 50-amp, and now we're at a 200-amp, and pretty soon we can't be overloaded, man. There's nothing that can come along that can overload us. Nothing. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the truth. I can only obey what I know. I can only know what I hear. And I can only hear by being in his presence. He that hath an ear, let him hear. That's what Jesus would say. You're going to hear best at his feet. I would like to, I don't want you to answer me, but I would like to ask you a question. That how many of you have been working at the presence of God? I mean, literally consumed with the thought of, I need to be closer to you. I need to hear you. Forget all these other problems. Those things that we're praying about, they're all, you still have the list, God, here they are. Now let's get down to the real thing. I want to be where you are. I mean, that's how you need to get to treating your worries and your concerns. Write them on a list and throw them up in the air and say, God, there they are. Now let's get down to the real thing. I got to know you more. I want to be where you are. I want to do what you want me to do. It is so safe, people. It is so safe. When I was a little kid, I always thought if I ever said that, they were going to send me to a missionary to Africa. And I'd been told that's the scariest place in the world. Instead, I rejected that thought, and God sent me to Denver. You know what? I found out by the Spirit of the living God. If it had been Africa, I'd have been happy. It's Denver, I'm happy. Don't make any difference. I don't care about where it's at. I just want to know where he's at. See, because here's the other thing. When he calls you to a place, he don't call you out of his presence. His presence goes before you, the Bible says. Not with you. It goes before you. It prepares the way and then tells you how to walk. Directs your steps. Guides your path. Why? Because he went before. He knows what way you're taking. Amen? You know what? It doesn't make you... I am so excited. That's as excited as I'm going to get. Y'all just enjoy it. But I am absolutely thrilled that I'm beginning to understand that the very, as I, that there's just a few pages of notes here, and the more simple I get, the more complicated this gets. Now, I don't mean to us, the people that are listening, but if I had to sit back and listen to this, I'm without some kind of understanding, I think I'd be flipping my lips. Just go with the flow. Just trust God. I don't care about all the displays and all the examples and all the pictures that I've drawn today. I want you to understand this. Everything that you need far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked is in the presence of God. Every need that you ever worried about is met in the presence of God. Every child that is disobedient is taken care of by you being in the presence of God. Every nutty fruitcake president that lies his head off is taken care of when you're in the presence of God. Every husband that left for a divorce, every wife that left, every problem in the whole world is taken care of when you're in the presence of God. Why? Because everything falls. It doesn't make any difference anymore. God gives much more than just an understanding of why it happened. He gives you peace about it. And then gives you this promise in here that don't worry about it. It's all going to be taken care of. So why do we resist staying there? How come we're always on the move like Mary and Joseph? Why can't we just stay there? Most of you that have been here for a couple of years knows that we don't have as many here as we used to, because some of us ran into some, well, on the farm I'd call it high center. I got caught and couldn't move. I got caught on God and couldn't move, and they wanted to go other directions, and I said, hey, right here is where I'm going to stay. Right here. How come we're going on the fourth? I know it's the fourth, at least the fourth Sunday that we're talking about this. I'm stuck high center, guys. I'm staying here. Now, in the spirit, I'm not staying. I'm growing and I'm blowing, but because I'm going to grow. That scripture doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't lie. I'm growing in the stature. I'm growing in wisdom and I'm growing in knowledge because God does not lie. And you know what else? I'm going to the steakhouse today because I got favor with men.
Amen.
That's a small thing, but it's something. Amen? And it's only the tip of the iceberg, according to what I see God says. Now, I want you to take this more serious than anything you've ever taken in your life. I keep telling you this. Throw your problems at God. He says, cast your cares on me. I'll care. I'll do the caring for you. That's what the scripture says. Cast your cares on me. I'll do the caring for you. Now, let's get down to the real thing. Let's make love. I want my life to be birthed in you. I want my spirit to be birthed in you. I want my will to be birthed in you. I want my way. And trust me. Just trust me. That's all you got to do. You know, one of the things for a season, I would recommend that you quit telling God you love him and begin to tell him you trust him. I've had many of people hug my neck and say, I love you. And they didn't trust me as far as they'd kick me. And I don't kick very far. I'd rather you tell me you trust me. I believe I have the heart of God in that matter. I believe that's what God wants to hear. We're going to take communion this morning. And I'm going to turn that part over to Bill, but I want to say this one thing. It says that we do this to bring remembrance. Y'all familiar with that scripture? Bring remembrance. You look up that definition, and it's recollection. And I would suggest to you this, that the word recollection means recollection. Get your mind back off of the world. Fix back on what's important. The sacrament is going to bring us to total focus of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
But not just there. Jesus Christ was crucified for a purpose. Please stop looking at the crucifixion and start looking at the purpose.
Yes.
Everybody in here, if you're saved, you have the crucifixion down. Let's get to the purpose. Let's get to the purpose, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And by the way, it wasn't to keep you out of hell. That wasn't the purpose. Jesus' crucifixion wasn't hell insurance for you.
Right.
And by the way, one other thing it wasn't. It wasn't heaven insurance.
Yes, right.
It wasn't so you could get to heaven. It was so you could do your work. Now we just got to find out what that is. Let me release the word now, Bill, and then you take over. Father, I have done what you've asked me to do. I spoke the visions you gave me. I spoke the word that you laid on my heart. I read the scriptures that you very clearly laid out. I thank you so much that during this week you've laid this whole thing out step by step, and I didn't have to do a thing. I just had to be where you are and listen. And I give you praise for that. But I'm not satisfied, Lord. And I don't think I know a person in here that's satisfied with where they are. We want to be closer to you. We want to be more in your presence. We want to be doing your will more. We want signs and wonders to follow us. When we lay hands on the sick, we want them to recover to bring glory and honor to you. We've been in your presence. It's very easy and very believable when we say, it's not I, but it's Christ that's in me.
Yes.
Let that be established in these hearts today. Let that be established in these hearts today. Let this word bring forth a mighty, mighty harvest in the kingdom of God for your honor, for your glory, for your purposes. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Bill, it might.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I wasn't here last week. Y'all know I was in California. But I've listened to that tape four or five times this week from last week. And the message today ties right in with it. Not only about the presence of God, but some things that we need to look at, deal with in our own lives. And I see things in a different light, even in this communion, than I've ever seen it before. A deeper understanding for me. Maybe y'all are further ahead than I am, and that's okay. But I like where I'm at right now because I know I'm moving on in God. The scripture talks about, that we're going to look at here in a moment, about not rightly discerning the Lord's body. I want to give this opportunity for y'all to get just alone with God right where you're at. And if there's anything that you need to deal with God about, do that now. Do that now. Don't be guilty of not discerning the Lord's body correctly. You know, Jesus died for our healing. He took the stripes for our healing. And yet we'll run to a doctor. We'll take medicine every time there's a little ache or pain. That's not rightfully discerning the Lord's body. He gave His body and took the stripes so that we could be healed. We have our own ideas about prosperity and our needs being met. That's not rightfully discerning the Lord's body. Salvation. Jesus is the total salvation. What He did, His obedience was total. And if we've got any other plan but His plan, then we're not rightfully discerning the Lord's body. Amen? So let's take a moment and let's examine our hearts. I take very literally the Word of God. I take very literally the Lord Jesus. And I do trust Him. And I trust that everything He said He did for me. And I know He did it for you. So let's just take a moment. Let's get in His presence. Hopefully you never left it. And let's examine our hearts. Take care of things that we need to take care of if there's anything there. Now, I don't know about you, I don't care how. And there's things I need to take care of this morning. And I know I'm not alone. So let's do that now. Praise You, Lord. Let's get our hearts clear so that we can take this communion. Praise the Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Lord. Trust You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We thank You for the revelation that comes from Your presence, Lord, from being in Your presence, of exactly, not a mystery, Lord, but exactly what You did for us. You took us out of the kingdom of darkness, placed us in the kingdom of Your dear Son, into the light. You translated us from the family of darkness into the family, Your family, Lord. According to Isaiah, Lord, 53, Lord, we know that everything that happened to You was for us, so that we could walk with You. And in that walk, as we're in Your presence, Lord, that we'd have an opportunity to get to know You better, to prosper, to be safe, to be whole. Thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, corporately now, I just say, Lord, we're sorry. Forgive us for not rightfully discerning your body. Seeing what you did, trusting in other things, and making of no effect those things which you did for us. Taking them for granted, not remembering. We repent, Lord. We turn from it. We confess it to you. We forsake it. And now we turn, Lord, back to you. Come into your presence, Lord, to dwell there, to stay there, to remain constant right there, to live there. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You don't have to turn there, but I'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through about 34. And of course, the communion is spoken of, or the Lord's Supper is spoken of in Matthew 26, 26 through 30, Mark 14, 22 through 26, Luke 22, 19 through 22, and again in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 22. But what I want to look at is basically what we talked about just a moment ago. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let us eat of the bread and the drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, or sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if any of you is hungry, let him eat at home, and lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." And I thought about this, and of course we all know in this Judas ate the supper with them, and he was the one who betrayed the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Judas sat with Jesus, and he was the one who betrayed him. And the scripture says it'd be better for him never to have been born, to have them come to that day and betrayed him. He was guilty of not discerning the blood and the body of Christ, of eating and drinking unworthily. And I began to think about that. And when we don't do, and we don't operate in the things of God, we don't get in his presence, or we do things other ways, the way the world's taught us, then we're guilty of the same thing, betraying that blood and that body. God's got a plan, and his plan is the truth. His plan is the right way, the only way. Any other way... Now, I'm not throwing a guilt trip on you. I want you to understand that, you know, God's given us things in this earth sometimes to help us out where we're lacking. But the point is, if our first thought is not with him, then we're guilty. I am guilty if I do things my way or the way I've been taught, other than from the Word of God, of the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. And I remember the children, or the Israelites, the Jewish people, who at the time when Jesus was taken to be crucified, and what they said, and what they caused to happen to them, not only to them, but to three generations after them. Amen? They were guilty of the body and blood of Christ. They didn't understand who he was. In Isaiah again, it says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Let's don't do that. As we've examined ourselves now, let's do what the scripture says. Amen. Let's receive to us the body and blood, and let's remember, as the Scripture says, what it's about. And let's rightfully, for the first time, if this is the first time, then let's praise the Lord for that. But let's take and rightfully discern it and receive the benefit from that. Amen? Hallelujah. Guys, if you'll come, I think we'll have the guys pass it out, and then we'll all take together. In verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, talking about the bread, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Guys, if you'll pass the bread out, please.
Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord.
As we think about what Jesus did with his broken body from the stripes, the nails in his hands, the spear pierced in his side, and the nails in his feet, and the thorns on his head, and the blood that streamed down, let's take now this in remembrance of him, and let's eat all of it. Verse 25, it says, take this cup of the new covenant in my blood, the covenant in his blood. You know, he sealed the covenant with us through his blood. And he said, as often as we do this, as often as we eat and drink, do it in remembrance of him. Let's remember the new covenant that we have with the Lord, the covenant that he made with us. Amen. That blood that was shed to redeem us, to cleanse us, to purify us, that still operates today if we're serving him, we're obedient to him. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we take this cup. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we do this. We've done this in obedience to your word, and we do it remembering your blood, Lord, which you shed for us. Your precious blood, Lord. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord, rightfully discerning, Lord. Thankful, Lord, for all you've done. And that we're not the same as when we came in, Lord. We're going to be in your presence. We're determining to be in your presence, Lord. we'll stop the procedure, Lord, and go to your presence, Lord. And that's where we'll dwell, is in your presence. Be plugged into that source of power, Lord. You are that source of power, where you are. And if we're any place but there, we don't have it. Now, Lord, we take this cup, thanking you for the new covenant. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. As Gene continues to play softly, if you have a need today, physical need, a need of any kind, now that we've done this, enter into his presence. Let him touch you right where you're at. Okay? Receive from the Lord the work that we remembered today. Amen? The entirety of it. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, receive from the Lord whatever that need is. If you have a special need, we'll be happy to pray with you. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you devised a plan, even in the midst of man's sin, to redeem us and restore us to right relationship with you. To give back the dominion that was given away. And we thank you for that, Lord.
Yes.
That you've restored dominion.
Yes.
To us. And now, Lord, as your bride, we thank you. And we determine that we're going to be that bride without spot and wrinkle. Rightfully discerning your body.
Yes.
And your blood, Lord. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the word that's come forth, Lord. Seal this in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, that we are being changed from glory to glory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your revelation, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Bill said it, but I want to, one more time, I want to make sure all hearts are clear. If anyone needs prayer, please, we're anxious to pray with you and for you.
Yes.
If there's a physical infirmity, we'll be happy to pray for that. Any needs at all, you can come forward and we'll pray. Otherwise, you're dismissed to be blessed.
And we really would like to have everybody join us today.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. For those that need prayer, please come forward. For those that want to pray with us, please come forward.